This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, three simple words. Just do it. But depending on how the person says those words and the context of why they say them can change how we react to these three simple words. As children, your parents can tell you to do something, and you don't want to do it. You try to weasel your way out of it, and eventually your parents have to rebuke you and say, just do it. Sometimes we can be hesitant to do something because we think we can't do it. But then someone is there who comforts us and says, you can do it. I'll be here with you to help you. Just do it. And maybe sometimes we want to do something. We ask someone, what can I do for you? And they say, well, how about this? Just do it. And we're excited to do it. But then we realize it's going to be hard. And all of a sudden, all that motivation for wanting to do it is sucked out of us, and we no longer want to do it. Today, the Apostle Paul tells us to just do something. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Paul tells us to just preach the word. But maybe because of selfish reasons, we don't want to do it. And so God has to rebuke us and tell us to just preach the word. Sometimes we can be hesitant to do it because we think we can't do it. And God comforts us and assures us that we can preach his word. Sometimes we want to preach his word, but then we realize it's hard. But God continues to encourage us and say, just preach the word. The Apostle Paul was no stranger to how difficult it is to preach the word. He writes to Timothy, you know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Paul greatly suffered in his ministry as he preached the word to others. And the persecutions that he mentions that happen in these three cities are these. After Paul had great success in preaching the word to the Jews and the Gentiles, some of the Jews became jealous, and they created a riot that drove Paul out of one city. As Paul went to the next city, that mob continued to follow him, and they came up with a plot to take his life. And when Paul got to that third city, this mob almost carried out that plot. For they dragged him out of the city and almost put him to death by stoning him. Luckily, Paul survived. But those were the persecutions in his past. Paul was still being persecuted at the present. As he is writing this letter, he is in prison at Rome. He knows that his life is coming to an end. And quickly after he wrote this letter, he was killed by the Roman government simply because he preached the word and lived his faith. Which makes us ask the question, why are people so offended by the word? Why do they hate it, even to the point of being willing to kill people for it? Because think about it. What's the basic message of God's word? God's word tells us that Jesus is our Savior. He lived a perfect life and died for our sins. We don't even have to do anything to save ourselves. We simply trust in Jesus. And in our lives, we are to love one another and share this message. Therefore, why would people be so offended by this? Why would they hate it and be willing to kill people for it? It's because the message of the word goes against our human logic. People don't want to be told that God has done everything to save us. They prefer to think that in some way they contribute to their salvation. People don't want to be told that they are a sinner who needs to be saved. They prefer to think that since they are such great people, they don't have to be saved. People don't like being told how they are to live their lives. They want to do what they want. And therefore, when they hear this message proclaimed to him, they are offended. They hate it. And we see that happening throughout the world, don't we? You and I are privileged to live in a country where we have the freedom to practice our religion and preach the word. But there are Christians throughout the world that don't have that privilege. Christians are being beaten, they are thrown into prison, and even killed for their faith. And although we don't go through those sufferings, Paul tells us that if we want to live a godly life and preach the word, we will be persecuted. When people find out that you are a Christian, they will mock you. They will say, let me get this straight. You actually believe that God created the world in 6 days. You actually believe that Noah built an ark and saved all the animals from a worldwide flood. You actually believe that Jesus is God and not just a good prophet. Well, if you believe all those things, then you're dumb and foolish, and you deserve to be made fun of. When people realize that you are members of the Wisconsin Synod, that we believe and teach what the Word says, we believe and teach that certain lifestyles are still sinful, we believe and teach the roles of men and women that God has laid out for us, people will be offended by that. They will hate you. They will call you bigoted and unloving. When people find out that you are members of this church in town, they will look down on you. They will say, I've heard things about your church. I've heard things about the people who go there. Therefore, I know everything about you, and I'm not going to listen to a single word that you say. And so the idea of preaching the word, when we will be mocked, hated, people will be offended by us, that idea of sharing the word, we don't want to do it. But remember what Paul said. Even when he was suffering and eventually was killed for his faith, he still said, the Lord rescued me from all of them. The Lord protected Paul and greatly blessed his ministry. And even when Paul was killed, the Lord still rescued him, for he brought Paul safely to his heavenly home. And when we don't want to preach the word because we don't want to endure those sufferings, remember that the Lord will protect us and rescue us. He will bless our ministry. And even if it does get to the point that we are killed for our faith and for preaching the word, the Lord will rescue us and bring us safely to our heavenly home. That's the comfort that we need so that we will go and preach the word. But maybe you're still hesitant to preach the word, not because of possible sufferings, but because you think that you can't do it, that you're not capable or qualified enough to preach the word. If that's the case, listen to these comforting words of God who tells us that you can preach the word. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. Paul says that we have been convinced of the word because we have learned it from those whom we know. What a marvelous and humbling thing this is. Ultimately, it is God who brings someone to faith. It is God that makes a person convinced of the word, but he uses us. We are the instruments of God who sound and proclaim His word. He blesses our message. Therefore, we are comforted to know that as we preach the word, God is the one who is helping us. But how old does the person have to be before we preach the word to them? Paul says, "How from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." The word is for all people of all ages, including infants. Even infants can know and understand God's word. Even infants can believe in God, their Savior, and be saved. Therefore, as parents, let us rejoice and take seriously the job and the opportunity that God has given us to preach the word to our children, especially our young children, for they will listen to you because they trust you as their parent. And even if we aren't parents or no longer raising our children, think about this. If God's word can work on an infant, then the word can certainly work on anyone else. Therefore, let us rejoice and take seriously the job and the opportunity that God has given us to preach the word to others, because the word will work. But why does the word work? All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The reason that the word works is not because it has come from man and we have created it. The word works because it comes from God Himself. The same powerful word that God used to create everything is the same powerful word that will work in the hearts of people and bring them to faith. The word has worked on us. The word teaches us on what we need to know. It teaches us about God, how He loves us and will take care of us. The word rebukes us of our sins and how we need a Savior, and it points us to our Savior. The word corrects and trains us so that we are thoroughly equipped to do every good work for God, including the good work of preaching His word. So when it feels like you're not capable of preaching the word and you're not qualified to do it, remember that it is God speaking through you. Remember that the word works on all people. Remember that you are proclaiming God's word that is useful for all things. And now, being comforted by God's word, we want to preach the word. But then we realize it's not going to be easy. It will be hard. For Paul says, "The time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths." We certainly see this happening in our country today. People want to hear what they want to hear. After all, it's a lot easier to hear what you want to hear than to hear what is actually true. Therefore, if there is a church or a different message out there that applies to what they want to hear, they are going to listen to it. But this is not just happening to people out there. It is happening to people whom we know, people whom we love, people who are our own family. If God has blessed you that everyone in your family believes as you do, then praise God for that. But the reality is, most of us don't have that. Some of you may be married to a spouse who no longer believes Maybe they never believed in God. And therefore, that causes friction and tension in your marriage. It can cause tension, especially when it comes to how you are to raise your children. And speaking of the children, even though you may have instructed them in God's word from infancy, they may no longer believe. And you still try to reach out to them, but maybe it's gotten to that point that they no longer want to listen to what you have to say. Maybe they no longer talk to you. Maybe it has gotten to that point that they even keep your own grandchildren away from you because they don't want you to preach the word to them. Or maybe it's not the children, but it's your parents who no longer believe for whatever reason. And the idea of rebuking them for their lack of faith seems impossible for you to do. Maybe you have siblings who grew up in the same faith as you, but they no longer believe. And it breaks your heart. And you can wonder, what am I supposed to do? Paul tells us what we are to do. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardships. Do the work of evangelists. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Paul tells us to preach the word even when it's hard. But this is not something that we always do. Rather, we think that it's better for our marriages, our families, and our relationships with others just to remain silent. We don't want to preach the word because we don't want to offend them. We don't want to lose them. And that all makes sense to human logic, but it goes against what Jesus said. Jesus said, anyone who loves his father or mother or son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. All of us are certainly not worthy of Jesus because of our sins. We are not worthy of him because we can love our family and friends more than him. We are not worthy of him because we don't always preach the word as he tells us to do. And let's assume Jesus did the same thing because he knows how hard it is to preach to those whom he loves. We heard in the gospel that when he went to his own hometown, those people rejected him. Even Jesus' own brothers, whom he grew up with, whom he loved, they didn't believe in him. And so let's say Jesus didn't preach the word because he thought it'd be more convenient and happier in his life not to do it. If he did, then we would have less than a Savior. In fact, we wouldn't have a Savior at all. But we do have a Savior. Jesus perfectly preached the word to others, even when it was hard. Jesus perfectly endured the hardships that he endured, even from those whom he loved. Jesus perfectly did all of this to save us. For he gave up his perfect life on the cross so that we could be perfect in God's sight. And so, the times that we have failed to preach the word to others, there is forgiveness for that. And the times that we will still fail to preach the word to others, there will still be forgiveness for that. And so as we receive this forgiveness, let us preach the word, even when it is hard, because those family members whom we love are not beyond being saved. Even Jesus' own brothers who didn't believe in him were eventually brought to faith through the word. And God may do that with our family members as well. Therefore, my brothers and sisters in Christ, when we don't want to, when we think we are not capable to, sometimes when we want to do it, but it's hard, just preach the word. Remember that it is God who is speaking through you. Remember that God's word works on all people. Remember that God can bring those who have fallen from the faith back to him. And even when we are persecuted, remember that the Lord will rescue us and bring us safely to his heavenly home. How do we know that? It's because of what he has said to us in his word. And therefore, let us preach the same glorious, powerful, and life-saving message to others. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on page 41 in front of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering, and during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.